hope that nobody ever thinks about driving in left lane the same again after yesterday. It's my honor and privilege to be here to help you understand these simple things in life that really help things go a little smoother. Am I a law keeper? Well, in a certain extent, to a certain extent I am. Not the Mosaic law, but the laws of sanity, the laws of the highway, because there's a reason that they want you to do certain things on the highway. It's to avoid getting in crashes. None of us want to do that, either on the interstate or at the YMCA track, where the left lane is not a running lane. Keep that in mind, folks. It is a passing lane. Hey, hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender, and I'm conducting a little experiment today. I got my Zender cam fired up, and so I'm going to make this video available on the Zender cam as well, so you can watch me if you want, or you can just listen. You're going to give you the option. The reason I'm doing this is an experiment, because when I start the Book of Revelation, I'm going to have the Zender cam on every day. And I also want to be able to have a print file. I'm going to give someone the assignment of voice recognition. I'm going to set up some kind of voice recognition software here so that it will record and print everything I'm saying. Of course, that will have to be cleaned up and edited, and so somebody else is going to have to do that. So you can see what a major operation this series on Revelation is going to be, because there's going to be three things going on. There's going to be the audio, which will be available on an MP3. There's going to be the video, a WMV file, and there's going to be a Word document that you will be able to read the transcript from every single show 5 days a week. I'm going to have a separate website dedicated to the show. So you can see there's a lot to do, a lot to think about, a lot going on. For now, we are starting Hebrews chapter 13, which, if you've checked your scriptures out lately, this is the last chapter in the book of Hebrews. 13:1, let brotherly fondness be remaining. Be not forgetting hospitality, for through this some were oblivious when lodging messengers. In other words, the Hebrews were to be careful who they turn away, because they may be turning away an angel, a visiting angel. And I think the circumcision is tested like this once in a while. I got to share a story with you. When my wife Marcia and I were bicycling across the United States in 1984, we stayed at some very weird places. We had a tent and not much money, so we would camp out in some strange places. Well, we got in the habit of going to churches, and we'd knock on the door if we see somebody out. And it was about 6 o'clock. This might have been Maryland. No, it was in Virginia, I think, off Route 50 somewhere, the Winchester area. And we saw this pastor, this guy hanging out in the church, and we asked him if we could put our tent in the church. And he said, well, I don't like the sound of that. And I said, why don't you like the sound of it? I can be that way. And he said, it's just, if I let you do it, then I'll have to let everybody do it. And I'm thinking to myself, and I probably said this to Marcia, how many people are going to approach this guy and ask, how many transcontinental bicyclists are going to ask to put a tent up in his little patch of churchyard there? But, you know, this is what I did. I dusted my feet off, knocked the dust off my feet, and went down the road. Well, it wasn't 2 minutes later, we're bicycling down Highway 50. This guy comes up from behind because he was convicted, because he probably knew about this passage in Hebrews. Be not forgetting hospitality, for through this some were oblivious when lodging angels. So he probably looked at me. No, he must have been looking at Marcia. Maybe these are angels. Maybe these are angels. You never know. And so he was guilt-racked, because I was gracious to him. I didn't say, you ungrateful. They came to me. No, that doesn't apply. You inhospitable piece of nothing. I didn't say that at all. So I was very gracious, and I probably heaped burning coals upon his head, which of course was my plan all along. That's the only reason I'm nice to people, is because while I'm being nice to them, I'm thinking, I'm actually heaping burning coals of fire on your head, and you're going to feel so bad about being mean to me later. So you see, that's how I do it. No, not Not really. My intentions are pure on occasion. They really are. So he says also here, the writer to the Hebrews, which is Paul, be mindful of those bound. As I said, I don't think angels minister to us in this way. So don't think that when the when those Jehovah's Witnesses come to your door that those are angels. Those are not. Those are actually devils. So my advice to you would be the body of Christ's advice, which in many cases is opposite to the circumcision advice. So I would say to you, beware who you entertain, because by this some were oblivious when lodging Satan. And the vagabonds of this world are usually the angels, and the polished people with the suits who come to your door are Satan. So I really do think you can judge this by the dress. By the way people clothe themselves. If they're in ties with briefcases, it's Satan. If they're vagabonds on bicycles, bicycles traveling across the country, weary travelers, as I recall, I think it was the three men traveling that greeted, that Abraham greeted. And so if they're ragtag and they look like they could really use a place to stay, that's an angel. Okay, here we go. Be mindful of those bound, as bound together with them. And this is a universal truth. It doesn't just apply to the circumcision. Also applies to the body of Christ. The body of Christ suffers together and rejoices together. Of those maltreated as being yourselves also in the body. That is, you should feel what they're feeling. And it's called being empathetic. And this is a wonderful sign of spirituality, that when somebody feels pain, well, it not necessarily, because mothers and sons, fathers and their children, you can feel the pain of your children in a very real way. As the saying goes, this is going to hurt me more than it is you. Well, it hurts you together when someone you love hurts. And this should be the way with members of the body of Christ as well. May matrimony be honorable in all. This is verse 4 of Hebrews 13. This is now practical instruction. I should have mentioned that right at the beginning. We're looking now at, as usual in the scriptures, we have doctrinal first and then practical instruction based on the doctrine. That's what Paul's doing in the book of Romans. It's what he does in the book of Ephesians. And because chapter 5 starts the practical application of the truths you learned in Ephesians 1 through 4. Romans, the practical application. The behavioral aspects start in chapter 12, and Philippians itself is a correction of people's walk who had received the previous truths in Ephesians. So likewise here in Hebrews, we've had doctrine, and now we're getting to practical applications. Wherefore, be fond of one another, brotherly fondness, let that be remaining, don't start being mad at each other. We already know they're not supposed to forsake the assembling of themselves. Be hospitable, even if you don't like the person. Again, if they're ragtag, it's probably an angel. Be mindful of those bound and of those being maltreated. Now we get to matrimony. This verse has been twisted to condemn every fun thing that a man and a woman can do in bed. And I, Martin Zender, am not shy to talk about this at all. This is verse 4. May matrimony be honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. Now, that's where most people stop. Keep the marriage bed undefiled. And so, in other words, the marriage bed has to be pure. Now, I don't know about you, but pure, things that are pure and holy, it's the opposite of an aphrodisiac. And I don't know what the opposite word of an aphrodisiac would be. An aphrodumziac, I don't know, but to try to be pure and holy in bed with your spouse or your significant other is ridiculous. It's not the place for it. But some religious people get this undefiled, let the marriage bed be undefiled, and they think that they can't bring any fantasies in there, or they can't talk dirty, they can't say certain words, they have to be circumspect. And I'm telling you, if you believe that the dead are alive, this will ruin your sex life. If you think that your dead mother, your dead father, your dead grandfather, I remember I did not have a sex life at age 10, I promise you, but I remember at age 10 when my grandfather died. That was the nearest person at that time that had ever died that that I knew of. I pictured him looking down at me, and I was worried. I was like, I got to behave myself because my grandpa is watching me right now. And it really, It cramped my style. Now, I did have style as a 10-year-old. I will tell you this. I was not sexually active then. In fact, I was quite a late bloomer, if you must know. I'm not going to say any more about it. But my grandpa is like, he still could have seen some stuff. You know, age 10. So I was worried about it. But your relatives are dead. The ones that have died, that is. The ones who are alive are still alive. And you can count on me, Martin Zender, to bring you technical truths like this, that the dead are dead and the living are alive. This is what I do. I'm happy to do it for you. So you don't have to worry that your relatives are looking down on you in the marriage bed while you defile it. But instead of, you see, when you just leave the verse here, put a period after it, and forget that there's a context, people can put anything they want into that. You know, it's like the man wants his wife to wear some black lingerie. Well, black's an evil color, so I can't do that because I'm not supposed to defile the marriage bed, see? And she shows her husband the passage, and it's like, and he's like, oh, come on, you gotta be kidding. And she is taking it out of context. So there are a lot of fun things you can do in bed that should not be between a man and a woman, and that should not be disallowed, especially not on this verse. And yet I've seen it done. But look at what follows here. Four. Paramours and adulterers will God be judging. Paramours and adulterers. You know what a paramour is? It's a male prostitute. It's somebody who brings women into it. Now, it could be, I'm not sure here. I'm not sure if the male prostitute in this case would simply be a man who sells his body for sex, or if it's a prostitute in the sense of cult prostitution. And I think it is. I think it's cult prostitution here, because that's generally the default setting in the New Testament when prostitution is mentioned. So what is being said here is, don't allow male prostitutes into your bed, husbands and wife. That's not really too hard to do, is it? Have any of you ever wanted to bring a male prostitute into the room? Well, that's maybe frowned upon here in Hebrews. Definitely frowned upon. And secondly, adultery. We all know that's wrong. You don't want to bring another married person in there if they're married to somebody else, obviously. You see what I'm getting at here, right? You don't want to sneak out of your bedroom and go into someone else's married bed and defile their bed. Because if you're married, you're defiling their bed. If you have a covenant with someone and you break it, that's what we're talking about here. So it's interesting that this is specific and many people make it broad and general. And I don't like it when that happens. And we have freedom in Christ. So true, we have freedom to do anything in Christ, even invite male prostitutes and adulterers. But we're not going to do that, are we? Because it's not expedient, and because the Spirit of God lives in us. But just because the Spirit of God lives in us doesn't mean the spirit of religion should live in us. And it's a spirit of religion and of misconstruing many, many, many verses that lead to bondage. What, Clyde, bondage? That's another thing you're allowed to do in the bedroom. That's not defiling the marriage bed. That can be really fun with a man and a woman. And you heard it from me here, Martin Zender. You probably heard it before. I just don't know if you've ever heard it on a Bible show. This has been Martin Zender. Tomorrow we are going to talk about fondness for money or lack of it, and we are also going to be getting more practical instructions to any of you Hebrews out there who are taking this book to themselves.